Tonight, my goal is to make you uncomfortable. So we're going to start out by doing a little something to make you uncomfortable. Dr. Everson is going to come and assist me with that. As I look out tonight, I just feel like we are not unified. I feel like there's division in our body. And I don't know if it's because Pastor Dan's been preaching on peacemaking and some of you are just refusing to do that, or if it's just that people like the aisles. But I am going to ask us, before we start our message tonight, to fill in the front a little bit more. We need to move down front a little bit. We got people all over the place. Come on down. This is not the invitation. But please come forward. Come on down. Find somebody that you can sit closer to. I just feel like we need a little bit more unity. Yeah, shake hands with each other. We haven't shaken hands tonight. This is great. Now, I thought I was going to make you uncomfortable, and you all are happy and having a good time. Jairo, welcome. It is nice to see you tonight, all the way from Peru and Northland. Thank you, Dr. Everson. I think it's fantastic just to have him play the piano like that. We should do that again. Now, I said my goal is to make you uncomfortable, but then as soon as I said that, all of you started laughing and talking and shaking hands. I don't think you were uncomfortable at all. But you are seated perhaps in a different spot than you were before, and I really don't want to make you that uncomfortable, but I do want to share a challenge from God's Word with you tonight. If you'd open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 4, we're going to look at a couple of verses here in just a moment. Those of you who know me know that there's a hobby I have that's something I picked up a few years ago, courtesy of the youth group. We received for a Christmas present a fish tank from one of our youth group staff members, and then the youth group went ahead and gave us some gift certificates for a few other things. Well, that hobby has grown. And those of you who know me know that I enjoy fish. I enjoy watching fish. I enjoy keeping fish. I enjoy talking about fish. It's a fun hobby. I also enjoy catching fish, though. And there are those of you that like to joke with me about going into the office and catching fish or bringing your pole to church. And you're more than welcome to. I can guarantee you, you will catch fish, because when you get ready to feed them, they come right to the top. You can actually almost catch them with your hands. So fish are fun. I enjoy them a lot. I enjoy catching them. I enjoy eating them. I don't consider myself to be a master fisherman by any means, as I'm sure some of you are much more skilled at that than I am. However, I have learned a few things about fishing over the years. And I know that you don't usually catch fish just by going out and throwing a hook into the water. Now, on occasion, that does happen, where you can catch fish that way. In fact, I remember a time we were up in Canada, and the cabins that we go to up there on Matinenda Lake, which is just a huge, huge lake, then there's a couple of other lakes that feed into Matinenda Lake. One of those is called Big Moon Lake, and there's a nice little river that kind of goes between the two, or a stream. And that is a great breeding ground for all of the fish. And so you can go from these two pretty good-sized lakes through this little stream. And I remember several years ago, as we came through that stream, we had run out of worms up in Big Moon Lake. So we didn't have any worms left. We had lures and stuff. But most of the fish that are there are either pike, which are feeding on all the little ones, or there are lots of little fish. And so we had the kids in the boat, and we were putting our hooks in the water, completely bare, just a shiny gold hook, and we were catching fish on nothing but a hook. And that was fun. But that's not usually how it goes. Usually you have to have some kind of bait. You have to have something there to catch the fish. I think of a time that I went with somebody who is a master fisherman. His name is Jim Fisher. That's right, Jim Fisher. Many of you know Jim. He invited me to go salmon fishing with him over on the west side of the state a few years ago. And that was a great experience. And one of the things I learned about Jim during that time is that he is very intentional and specific about what he does. And when he goes fishing, he is on a mission, and he knows what he's doing and when he's doing it and how he's doing it. He knows exactly what lures he's going to use. We test the line every day. You pull the line out like way, way out from the reel to go through and check for any nicks or things that those salmon might be able to snap the line with. He knows exactly when to go and where to go. He has his GPS that he has tracked, and he keeps records of every year where he catches the fish, at what time of day he catches the fish in certain places. And this guy is very intentional. You know, it was great. The 2 days that I fished with him, we caught our limit all the time. It was exciting. It was fun. I was like, man, this isn't just fishing. This is catching. And I like that. It was interesting to me, even with his GPS, he keeps track of what speed we are going at in the boat because of how fast the lure is being dragged through the water. And I mean, he knows what he's doing when you're out there. And it's obvious because he catches fish. And it really is a lot of fun. It always made me chuckle when people around us would watch us fishing and they'd come over, hey, what kind of lure are you using? Yeah, hey, how deep you fishing? They had all sorts of questions for him because he catches fish. It truly is a lot more fun to go catching than it is just to go fishing. Tonight's message, though, is not about fish, but it is about fishing. And if you are familiar with Matthew chapter 4, you already know what passage I want us to look at, verses 18 through 20. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers there, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, and they followed him. We're all very familiar with this passage. This is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, and he's gathering the disciples together to himself. And here you have a couple of professional fishermen, and they knew what it meant to be a fisher of fish. And Jesus says to them, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to teach you what you ought to do. For the next 3 years of life and ministry for these men, they followed Jesus and they learned from him. And they were exposed to what he did in reaching people. And Jesus, as the master fisher, was a perfect example for them. You're familiar as well with Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. At the conclusion of Jesus' ministry, he tells the disciples that he wants them to go and to make other disciples, to go and teach others and to baptize them and to teach them all things, whatever he has commanded. And Jesus was very clear about that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the very last thing Jesus says before he ascends up into heaven is that when the Holy Spirit has come, he says, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. We just finished a fantastic missions conference. It is so exciting to hear how God is using these missionaries in different places all around the world. But we know that missions is something that takes place in our Jerusalem as well as in the uttermost parts of the earth. There was a time when Midland, Michigan was an unchurched, unreached area. But people were missionaries to this area and churches were started here. And now, praise God, we here in Midland, Michigan can be a place that sends missionaries out around the world. But as you've heard said before by our pastor, the light that shines furthest is the light that shines brightest at home. And tonight I want to take some time to talk about what we are doing here at Calvary Baptist Church to keep the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shining brightly here at home. What are we doing here in Midland, Michigan? How are we doing at reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, I believe that the leadership here at Calvary understands the necessity of evangelism in our local church to reach our community. If you think about it, we really have a lot of hooks in the water. If you were to pull out our strategic plan that was published a few years ago, you could look on the inside of the back cover page, and there is a whole list of ministries that Calvary Baptist Church does in order to reach our community, things that we call evangelism. What are some of those ministries that we have? This is part of the reason I wanted us to get a little closer so y'all could hear each other. What are some of the ministries that Calvary Baptist Church has that we would consider evangelism ministries? This is your chance to share. I've got a list in front of me, so I already know. Awana, excellent. What else? HTP, yes, Hidden Treasures Preschool. Upward Basketball. Youth Group. Parenting Classes. Grow Ministry. Yes, radio and TV ministry. I heard another one. Sunday school. Chinese Bible study. Nursing home ministries. How about vacation Bible school? Another good one. Triple C basketball camps. We have our Christmas time. We have dramas that we have done. We've done No Greater Love in the past. We've used those as outreach things. We do evangelism training. Obviously, we just went through a whole long list of things. And many of you here tonight have been involved or are involved in those different programs. And those are great programs. In fact, you could call them hooks in the water, so to speak, when we're talking about being fishers of men. Calvary Baptist Church really has been intentional about having a lot of hooks in the water to help us to be fishers of men. As I look at this list and I think about all of the time and the effort that we put into reaching our community with the gospel, one of the things that I'm convinced about, though, is that we do not always use our hooks as efficiently as possible. We're definitely fishing. There's no doubt about it. But are we catching? And that really is the idea of what I want to talk about with us tonight, is not just being fishers of men, but are we really being effective in these different ministry programs that we have? Or are we simply content to participate in an evangelistic ministry and say, check, I did my part. I have helped to fulfill the Great Commission because I was a part of Awana. I listened to kids say their Bible verses. Or I was a part of fulfilling the Great Commission through Upward Basketball because I was a coach. Or I was successful in fulfilling the Great Commission because I was a part of Vacation Bible School and I helped walk kids from one room to the next and kept track of them to make sure that they didn't get lost and the rowdy ones had somebody to keep an eye on them. And that we feel like we've successfully completed our task for the day of reaching our community because we participated in an evangelistic program. And I think sometimes we deceive ourselves that we have been fulfilling the Great Commission when in reality we're just participating in an evangelistic outreach. I told you I didn't want to make you too uncomfortable tonight, but I do want to challenge you in this area. And tonight's message I've just entitled it Keeping Up with Upward. Now I know that not everybody here is involved in Upward Basketball. I want to use Upward kind of just as my illustration that applies to all of the other areas of our ministries. And I want to give us a few things that will challenge our thinking and then perhaps spur us to action that we will be more intentional about some of the things that we do in our outreach and our evangelism. When I think about Upward Basketball, I think about a program that does some really exciting things. You know, we just had our Wild Game Dinner. It was incredible to sit in our gymnasium and to look around and to see people. I had no idea who on earth these people were. I'd never seen them before. I'd never run into them. Some of them were in camouflage, and I ran into them because I just didn't see them there. And then I said, oh, you're a... Not literally, but we had a lot of people in the gym there. And those people clearly heard the gospel, and many made a profession of faith. That was exciting. I get excited about Upward Basketball because as I look at this program, I say, man, this is a great program. It brings people into our walls to hear the gospel. But some of you perhaps tonight are saying, well, what is Upward Basketball? I've seen we've got posters up for it, and I've heard about it, and it's been announced. But what is it? Upward Basketball is simply an evangelistic ministry tool here that Calvary Baptist Church uses, using basketball to introduce children and families to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to Calvary Baptist Church. That's all it is. It's a basketball program. But it's a basketball program that takes place within the walls of this church for a specific purpose, not just to teach kids basketball, but to teach them about Jesus Christ and to reach them and their families for Jesus Christ and for Calvary Baptist Church. I want to see people reach for this church. Well, why do we have Upward Basketball? I'll give you a little bit of history about it. We've been doing this thing for a while now. It has a great deal of involvement from people within our church. It obviously draws a great deal of resources, time, and effort from people within our church. But why do we do it? You know, it's been 10 years now that we've been running Upward Basketball here at Calvary. It started out with about 125 kids. Within the first 3 years, it was well over 300 kids. We had to make some adjustments then as we transferred some of the leadership and made some different decisions that way. And the program currently has about 254 kids in upward basketball. We have 32 different teams. That's a lot of teams in upward basketball. Usually, in a given year, in fact, every year, I've kept records of this, at least over the last 6 years, we have anywhere from 12 to 42 professions of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, please understand, when I say a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, this isn't just, okay, kids, if you prayed that prayer, raise your hand. All right, we have names of every person who says, yes, I prayed that prayer. And every child who prays to trust Christ as Savior, we follow up and ask them, now, did you understand this? Did you trust Christ as your Savior today? If you were to die, where would you go? Why would you go to heaven? And we follow up with each of those kids and ask them that question. That's pretty exciting to have 12, that was our lowest year, up to 42 people who make a profession of faith in Christ. That is a great outreach program. It does take a lot of resource. It does take a lot of time. We have, as I said, 254 players and upward this year. We have 32 teams of 7 to 10 players. We have a total of 58 coaches who are either coaching or assistant coaching in the program. We need 32 different we have 32 different hours of refereeing. Four people refereeing each hour for 8 hours a day on Saturday. It takes a lot of people to help upward work. We use these facilities a lot. These facilities are dedicated during the upward season specifically to upward for 16 plus hours per week. They have 7 hours of practice, 16, and then 9 hours of games on Saturdays. We have a lot of people that are involved. You know, we also have about 30 people who signed up for Upward who have no church listed as a home church. That, to me, is a pretty exciting thing. So you listen to all these facts and you say, you know, Upward sounds like a great program. It sounds like it's accomplishing a lot of great things. Is it really worth it? I mean, people are getting saved, and so it must be worth it. And that is correct. It is a great deal of time and investment from within our church body, but does it have great returns? I believe that it does. But tonight I want to challenge us with this question. Have we, at Calvary Baptist Church, fulfilled the Great Commission through Upward Basketball? Now we could change that as well and say, have we at Calvary Baptist Church fulfilled the Great Commission through the Wild Game Dinner? Have we at Calvary Baptist Church fulfilled the Great Commission through our Sunday school program, through GROW? And I could go on through all of the list of the things that we have mentioned. Is that helping us to fulfill the Great Commission? Is that the completeness of fulfilling the Great Commission? If you would look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, just briefly with me, just to make sure that we are refreshed in what this Great Commission that we keep referencing is. In verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to the disciples, and he says to them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verse 19, "Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." What is the Great Commission? Is it simply sharing the gospel with people? And I know, just having had missions conference, and even just what Pastor Dan shared during the announcement time tonight, you heard very clearly from our missionaries, they could fulfill the Great Commission all day over in Poland, walking around with a megaphone, sharing the gospel. But would people truly be getting saved? And would they be learning, as verse 20 says, would our missionaries be teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus commanded? No, they wouldn't. Because there's something more than just presenting the gospel that takes place in fulfilling the Great Commission. Tonight I want us to simply suggest this. The ministries that we have here at Calvary Baptist Church, these evangelistic ministries, these outreach ministries, are great tools that allow us to share the gospel. They open the door for us to fulfill the Great Commission. However, we have not truly fulfilled the Great Commission until we are teaching them to observe all things that were commanded by Jesus. It's more than just sharing the gospel. It's taking and helping people to grow and to understand and have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. The presentation of the gospel is the absolute necessary first step. Without that, there is no Great Commission. Yet to stop there is to fall short in what we have been called to do. I'm concerned that we have become content, maybe complacent even, simply participate in outreach programs that present the gospel, but in many cases, we've perhaps even become negligent in our responsibility of making disciples. Let's just examine briefly the Upward basketball program. 6 Saturdays of the year. We've had 3 of them already. We have 3 more coming up. We will have somewhere between 600 and 800 people in this building for Upward basketball. The players that are involved will be memorizing scripture verses. They'll be having challenges from the coaches and being challenged about Bible truths and Bible lessons. During halftimes of the games, parents and other spectators, of which there are many, there are grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and boyfriends and girlfriends, not of the kids, but of the teens who come and watch, or the older kids. It amazes me the number of people that I meet on a Saturday who come just to watch elementary basketball. All of those people that come have the opportunity to hear from God's word a challenge at halftime every day. And so over the course of the season, that's 6 different times that they are being challenged with God's word. The gospel will clearly be presented, both during the games and the practices and at our final awards night. And, Lord willing, there will be again this year many people who will trust Christ as Savior. He's done it past seasons. I believe he will do it again this season, and that's something that we are praying for. So that is great. That is exciting. Many people, some from Calvary Baptist Church, but many from all over the places, and some who don't even go to church, who don't know the gospel, who have never heard the gospel, they're going to hear it clearly. But let me ask you a few questions. How many of those who make a salvation decision will start attending Calvary Baptist Church on a weekly basis? I can give you the statistics. How many of those who make a salvation decision will work through our discipleship material or work with somebody in our church to be discipled, perhaps even if they go to another church? They didn't understand the gospel before. They heard the gospel presented. They trusted Christ as Savior. And then what? How many of those who make a salvation decision will get involved in other ministries here at Calvary Baptist Church? Maybe they'll come to Sunday school. Maybe they'll come to Awana. Maybe they'll come to Vacation Bible School, but they'll get involved some other way here at Calvary Baptist Church. The answer is this: we don't know for sure how many, but the ones that we have statistically speaking are very, very few. Well, why? Why is that? Why is it that so many people over the last 10 years have prayed in our ministries to trust Christ as Savior, yet we don't see them here in our ministry being discipled and growing spiritually? Now, I can give you some reasons for that because I spend a lot of time thinking about this. Every year when it comes time for Upward to start, I think, do I really want to do this again? And the answer is, yeah, we always pray about it. And God says, yeah, this is a good investment. It is worth it to make this investment. People are trusting Christ as Savior. But are we falling short? And I believe that there are some times that we have to say, yeah, if we're honest with ourselves, we're falling short in really reaching these people to the extent that God wants us to. I believe some of the reasons are that other family members go to other churches faithfully and regularly. Those churches may not present the gospel, but those people who trust Christ as Savior after hearing and understanding the gospel then feel content to go back to their home churches. Now, obviously, I'd like to make them discontent with their home churches and get them here, because if their churches aren't preaching the gospel, they need to be here. But we can't always control that. Sometimes, in fact, many situations, it's children who trust Christ as Savior. And those children go to wherever their families go, or perhaps they don't go anywhere because their families don't go anywhere. But if you work with kids these days, you know this. Oftentimes, children dictate what the parents do. I just had a conversation yesterday with a family, a good family, but we were talking about education. And they said, well, our child made a decision to come to, and actually they're here in Calvary Baptist Academy, our child made a decision to come to Calvary Baptist Academy when they were 5. And they decided that they want to stay here all the way through. I said, praise the Lord. Why are you letting a 5-year-old make that decision? Aren't you the parents? I didn't say all that because the kid had already made the right decision. But why are you as parents letting your kids make that decision? Well, you know, oftentimes kids are able to help at the very least, influence their parents and encourage their parents to maybe come be a part of Calvary Baptist Church or the ministries of Calvary Baptist Church. We don't really know how many people we can truly bring here into this church. We don't really know, even when people make a profession of faith, we can do everything we can to follow up, but it's between them and God. But I believe that we have a responsibility to do a better job of helping these people not only hear the gospel and understand the gospel, but then to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. Making disciples is what the Great Commission is really all about. Only God can change the heart, but it is through the gospel that he can open the door for us to join him in his work to truly make disciples. So if this is the case, then how do we accomplish this? I want to give us a few thoughts for application tonight. Not just about Upward Basketball, but about every outreach thing that we do. What would an effective outreach program look like? Here are a couple things I think that are absolutely important. Number one, there has to be an opportunity to build relationships. It's great when we participate in a program and we're there and we're doing things, but the relationship stops at the parking lot. We walk in and then we talk because we talk about this thing that we're doing. And then we say, all right, program's over. We'll see you next week. And the relationship is severed at the parking lot when they drive their way and we drive our way. We have to build relationships. Why? Because when people hear the gospel, they trust Christ as Savior. That is great. But they have to have somebody that they trust to help lead them along and build them spiritually, to help them grow spiritually. We need to get to know, for instance, in Upward Basketball, get to know teammates, get to know families. I think it's exciting. As I look at my team, every year I intentionally put people on my team that I know are unchurched or I know they have perhaps a rough background spiritually. Why? Because I know I'm going to get to spend a lot of time with them. While I'm coaching them, I'm going to be talking with this kid and I'm going to be talking with those parents. I do that intentionally. But sometimes I think we might make the mistake of saying, well, they're here in this program, they're hearing great things, this is good, let's pray for them, but we don't build the relationships with them. Whether it be Upward Basketball, whether it be Sunday school, if you're a Sunday school teacher and you're working with kids at a table, whether it be our Awana program and you're listening to kids say verses, we need to be in the business of building relationships, not just with the children, but with the families. And looking for opportunities to get to know them and spend time talking with them. Here's another thought with building relationships. As you do this, find out which ones are in need of the gospel. You know, we have some folks that attend other Bible preaching churches here in Midland, and you might build great relationships with them. I've got some really good relationships with people that go to Hope Baptist Church. I've got some great relationships with people that attend Midland Baptist Church regularly. I'm not going to convince them to come here to Calvary. They're already in a Bible-preaching church. But I do need to be intentional about figuring out which ones are at such and such a church where I know the gospel is not preached. Which ones don't go to church anywhere? Which of these families, they may be regular and faithful in their church, yet they're not hearing the gospel. Sometimes I think we just simply believe that if a person's in church, well, that's pretty good. And we need to be intentional about understanding which ones are in need of hearing the gospel. If we never build a relationship, we will never know. Here's another thought about that, and that is spend time with them outside of the gym. All right? Go beyond the parking lot. Go beyond the walls of this building. When it comes to Upward Basketball, hey, this past Saturday was a warm one. I know I was sweating. You know what I really would have enjoyed afterwards? Going out for ice cream. That would have been fun. Maybe I could have taken a family along with us and said, hey, we're going to go get ice cream with the kids. You guys want to come along? Our treat. We'll buy ice cream for your kids too. What a great way, simply on a nice warm day after a fun, exciting game of Upward Basketball, to get to know and spend time with another family, just to build a relationship with them. Without a relationship, you're never going to know if they need the gospel. You're not going to know their background and other things about them. I would suggest this even. As you get to know people, invite them to come over to your home. The kids love to play together. Kids are always excited about going over to somebody else's house. Why? Because they have toys that you don't have. Right? They get to see what the other kids do, and they enjoy that. You know what? It is an easy, open door to say, hey, we'd love to have you guys come over. You know, my son's been asking or my daughter's been asking if your son or daughter can come over and play. I think that'd be a lot of fun. You know what? Maybe after the games on Saturday, we're going to grill out and you know, just have hot dogs and hamburgers. You guys can come on over. The kids can play together. Just be a nice, relaxing evening. Don't feel like you have to stay long. Invite them over to your home. You know what's neat about getting together with people to eat with them? Gives you an opportunity to pray. And you can pray and pray for their family. Lord, thank you for this food that we're looking forward to enjoying. We pray that you bless to our bodies. Thank you that this family can be with us. And we pray for them. We don't know what their needs are, but we know that they're here at Upward Basketball or they're in this ministry. And you fill in that blank. And we know that you have some things for them in their lives. And Lord, would you help them and bless them? You know, how far would something like that go to opening doors with these people that you're trying to build a relationship with? They hear you pray for them and for their family. Man, they might open the door and say, hey, you know what? Would you mind praying for my mom? She's real sick. She's in the hospital. Or she's got cancer. And that all of a sudden now they're asking you to pray for them. What open doors could there be simply by taking time to invite them to your home and to pray with them? And then, of course, you can always invite them to other church events. I know, Awana, you're supposed to bring a visitor, right? Where are you going to meet a visitor? How about Upward Basketball? Right, how about some of these other things that we do? Let the kids get invited to come and participate in other things that go on here. Why? It's just another hook in the water, another opportunity. Those are some simple things about building relationships. But then, of course, you're all aware of this. A second thought in reaching out in our outreach ministries is verbalizing our faith. Don't just build a friendship with them. As you know, many years ago, there was lifestyle evangelism. That was really a prevalent teaching. Hey, lifestyle evangelism. You know, people are getting sick and tired of people with these big, giant Bibles walking around and just pounding them over the head with the Bible verses all the time. You got to have lifestyle evangelism where you build a relationship with them. You know what? Lifestyle evangelism is great if you build a relationship and share the gospel. But all too often, we get very comfortable saying, well, I'm still working on building a relationship. You know, I started this 7 years ago, and I feel like we're almost there. Well, maybe they're really, really hard. But if it's taken you 7 years and you haven't got to presenting the gospel yet, you're probably a little more concerned about the lifestyle than you are about the evangelism. But we do need to have relationships. And so don't be afraid to verbalize your faith. Use the halftime challenges as a springboard for conversation. You're sitting there in Upward Basketball, you hear a challenge. For instance, yesterday, Pastor David talked about being hearers of the word or doers of the word, and that we're supposed to do both. And oftentimes people don't do that. How simple in a conversation, but you know, I really enjoyed that halftime challenge that Pastor David brought. You know, I find times in my life when I hear things that I should be doing and I just fail, I just don't do it. You know, what he said, that really got me. And it probably was true for a lot of other people there too. Hey, just open the door. Because there's probably a lot of parents out there that say, oh yeah, you know, my life too. I'm good at hearing the right stuff, but I don't always do it. Oh, my kids, yeah, they're great at hearing, but they don't always do it either. And just simply use that halftime challenge. They just heard God's word. Use that as a springboard for further conversation. And then as well, by sharing your faith, you open the door for them to ask questions. It may not be then and there, but it may be a time down the road. Simply as you share your testimony of what God's done in your life, how you came to Calvary Baptist Church, how God's worked in you spiritually, it may open the door for further times down the road. And I know there have been many times when I've built relationships with people, and then out of the blue, I'll get a phone call from somebody. I'm looking at my phone, I don't recognize this number. And then you answer it, and it's this person, and maybe it's somebody that it's been, you know, months since you've talked to them. But they say, hey, I just had this situation come up, and I didn't know who to talk to, and I remembered our conversation before. Can you give me any advice or help on this? And it's amazing how God can use those conversations when you build a relationship and just simply open the door to have further ministry with people. We can't guarantee what the results will be, but if we never take time to build those relationships, and we never take time to share our faith and to share what God's doing in our lives, we'll never know. When I was a kid, I played in the Midland Soccer Club. I know many of you, probably, if you've been around Midland for long, you've had your kids play in it. Maybe you played in it as well. I played in the Midland Soccer Club. Before it was just green and white. My first uniform was purple and white. That's going way back. One of the things that was pretty neat about that was we knew one or two other Christian kids on the team, usually. Beyond that, we didn't know anybody. And so that was perfect. That was like my little fishing pond for figuring out who I could invite to Awana and who I could invite to Vacation Bible School and who I could invite to fill in all the things I had to bring visitors to. That was my little fishing pond. You know, you got to be friends with those people, and then, you know, you're going through Awana and you come to that section where it says, bring a friend. And you're like, oh, who could I call? Oh, yeah, that guy from the soccer team. And so we call him up. You know, we had some great opportunities in a secular environment to build relationships with people. And there are still people today, Coach Williamson and others, that we built relationships with way, way back years and years ago. We keep up with their kids and we know what their families are doing still today. Now, how much greater is it for us to have an opportunity like Upward Basketball, where it's here within our own walls in a Christian environment where people know if they come to Upward Basketball and they don't think that they're going to hear the Bible, they're not too intelligent, right? They're coming to a church for a basketball program. They're probably going to hear the Bible. And most of those people are okay with that. They're not going to walk out and be upset. There's a few that get upset, but for the most part, they're okay with that. And now you have an opportunity and I have an opportunity to build relationships with people right here within our walls where God's Word is already being presented and being shared. And we have that opportunity. It is such a wonderful thing. And it's so much easier, I think, even than in a secular environment. I share all of that with you and just challenge you to think about. The outreach ministries of Calvary Baptist Church are great ways to put a hook in the water. It's great ways for us to go out there and say, hey, we would love to catch you. We would love to be a fisher of men here and see you trust Christ as Savior. And there are even those who do at the Wild Game Dinner, Upward Basketball, Triple C Basketball Camps. Yet oftentimes I think we get them on the line and we hook them and we share the gospel with them and they make a profession of faith and they might even flop in the boat for a little bit and then they flop right back out. And I'm not saying that they didn't trust Christ as Savior. I'm simply saying that we miss out on the opportunity of seeing them discipled and growing spiritually and the excitement that comes along with that of seeing God transform a person's life. Fishing sure is fun. But catching is a whole lot better. You know, we're never guaranteed that we'll catch fish when we go out. But the more intentional that we are, the more specific that we are, the more likely we are to get them in the boat. Jesus has called each of us to be fishers of men. But how are we doing in that? Calvary Baptist Church invests a lot of time and resources into our outreach programs. But we have to realize this is only the first step in fulfilling the Great Commission. We cannot be content simply to participate in an evangelistic program, to participate and grow and feel like we've done our part. We must be intentional about building relationships with people and using these evangelistic programs, these outreach programs, as the tool for us personally to springboard into building relationships and drawing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and Calvary Baptist Church. I hope that tonight this can simply be a challenge to you. The message, Keeping Up with Upward, really isn't just about Upward. I just came up with that title. But it is about a program that brings in hundreds of people into our walls every week. Yet are we seeing a difference made in those people's lives? And I think the only way that we're really going to see that truly happen is as we invest ourselves and get to know them and build relationships with them. And I want to challenge our church with that. Because I know that you, especially those of you here on a Sunday night, that is your desire. It is your burden to see this church grow. It is your burden to see people's lives changed. You know what God's done in your life. Let's be intentional. Let's build relationships and let's see what God will do as we specifically look for and pray for who can we target, who can we reach out to. Not every single one's going to respond. But praise the Lord, those who do, God changes their lives and we get to be a part of that. I hope that this can be a challenge to you tonight. And if you have other thoughts or questions about that, perhaps you're like, you know what? My kid plays in Upward Basketball. We're there every Saturday, but I don't even know which are the other parents from our team. Well, I can help you with that. I've got a list. In fact, my list even tells me what church those people go to. I can tell you, because a lot of these people I know, because of conversations that I've had, I don't have the time to build relationships with all these people. But I can tell you that there are many of them who are very open to having their kids come and do things here at our church. And we invite them and they say, yeah, we'd love to come. And all it would take is just a little bit more, a little nudge from somebody else, a little friendship, a little relationship to bring them here to Calvary Baptist Church. So whether it's Upward Basketball or Awana or our Sunday School program or our Grow Ministry or the Wild Game Dinner, be praying, God, who would you lead me to that I can help to fulfill the Great Commission in their lives of not just sharing the gospel, but after you change their heart, seeing them discipled to become a true follower of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you are in the business of changing people's lives. And we thank you that through your commandment to us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, Lord, that we can begin that first step of making disciples as we share the gospel. But Lord, help us not to be content just to participate in a program in which the gospel is shared. Lord, help us to take that next step of building relationships with others that we might see them truly become disciples or followers of you, that we truly would be able to teach them to observe all things of your word. And Lord, that they would, as they understand that, grow in their relationship with you. Lord, we know that it is only you who changes the hearts, and you do that through the proclamation of your word. But Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have to participate in that. We pray that you would use each of us and lead us to the people. Help us to be sensitive to the ones that you are already at work in their hearts, and that we might then be able to build a relationship with them and to be able to not just go fishing, but to go catching as you have called us to be fishers of men. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.